Representative Deere to get the invocation, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for watching over all those who have traveled here to be about the business of your nation. I ask your blessings upon all these decisions that are made, and I thank you for all the blessings of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green?
Present.
Joyce Deere?
Present.
Randall Hicks? James Jennings?
Here.
Rufus Scott?
Here.
Madam Chair, you got 4 present and 1 absent.
4 present and 1 absent. Constitutes quorum. All business conducted will be official. Then to approval of the minutes for March the 12th.
Madam Chair, motion to approve the minutes for March 12th. If any changes necessary.
A motion by Representative Scott to approve the minutes for March the 12th with any necessary changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The minutes have been approved. Down to the order of business. TR18-042, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to accept and execute a certain master equipment lease agreement with Key Government Finance, Inc. to fund the lease of a GE Healthcare Gofil Infinia 2 nuclear machine for the benefit of the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health, Muscogee Creek Nation Community Hospital. Sponsor is Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, at the request of the Health Department, I'd like to make a motion to postpone this till next month.
Motion's been made by Representative Jennings to postpone until next month's meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That TR18042 is postponed until next month. TR18-043, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute training services agreement with DNV GL Healthcare USA, Inc. for the purpose of an internal audit for healthcare course for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health. Sponsor is Representative Hicks.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion? Yes.
Good afternoon. This is being presented because there are some language issues within it. But what it's for ISO on-site training so that we can develop internal auditors within our system.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR18-044, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Leah Ann Nix to serve on the Muscogee Creek Nation Citizenship Board. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
Ms. Nick, come up here, please. You want to tell us about yourself and what you can do for the board and everything?
Okay. I have worked with customer service in customer service for the last 30-40 years. I've worked with people of all walks of life, and I actually worked for the Creek Nation about 20 years ago for 10 years in the Office of Child Welfare. And I've worked in administration at Creoke's Mental Health Facility, accounts receivable, accounts payable, payroll. I've done all kinds of different things. I enjoy working with people, and I like helping people. And it's been interesting. I've been serving for about 6 months now, and it's been really interesting.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
You've already been serving on this?
Yes.
Okay. I just wondered because your name is on here, and yet we haven't confirmed you yet. So
no, I was confirmed before. And I think I took someone's place and had to fill out their term.
Oh, okay.
Is why I'm, because it hasn't even been a year.
Okay.
And I was wondering that myself, so I asked. I took Darlene Scott's place.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And the pre-agenda? What date is that? 28. 28. Okay, the 28th will be our pre-agenda, a regular session. Could you be here for the full council?
Yes.
Okay. At 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you. PR 18-045, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation supporting the immediate passage of Oklahoma House Bill 3076. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hicks. Discussion? Yes.
Madam Chair, I don't have no more to add, but legislation is self-explanatory. Unless second chief, you know, may know something else about it that he wants to add.
Do you have anything? Pardon?
From Sean's here.
AG's
office.
Miss AG.
Shelley Harrison with AG's office. And this is legislation. As you said, it's self-explanatory. It's, the House bill is adding 2 seats to the Oklahoma Fatality Board, which reviews domestic violence fatalities. These 2 seats would be specifically for Native American members. Right now, there is no Native American representation on this board like there is on the child fatalities. And actually, this House bill started here at Creek Nation with family violence working towards getting these seats on the board. So we would ask that the whole council support that.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? None. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 18-046, a tribal resolution to the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Oklahoma Department of Human Services for access to the DHS system. Sponsor is Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Hicks, second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
This is in agreement with the Department of Housing, actually, and the Department of Human Services for access to information like Social Security, income, and aid for the disabled to do our, they have to recertify annually, and this is part of their income. And this would enable us to access that income online instead of leaving it up to them to try to go get the letter from the Social Security office themselves. So I would be the contact person myself and then do the income request for all the low rent sites and housing.
Any questions? Thank you. No questions? Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
Four in favor, zero against. That motion passes. TR 18-047, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Nolan Robinson Jr. to serve on the Muscogee Creek Nation Election Board.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Robinson, if you want to come here, please. I know everyone has seen his resume, but if you want to add anything to it, Mr. Robinson is very active in our Coweta community, and he is keeps informed or he knows what's happening in the Creek Nation, so I felt like he could hold this position. Any questions?
I just have a comment.
Okay.
I've known Mr. Robinson for several years, and he is a Vietnam veteran, and I feel like that he's qualified to serve on this board.
Yep, anything you want to say?
I just try to do what I'm supposed to do. The best I can.
Yeah, that's all we ask. Do your job. There's no questions? Thank you. I will be roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. That motion passes. And be here for pre-agenda on the 28th at 9 o'clock. I'm here for full council. TR 18-048. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an updated compact of self-governance and a multi-year funding agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Department of Health and Human Services on behalf of the United States of America. Sponsor is Representative Deer.
Madam Chair, motion due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Deer, second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
So what we have in front of us is an updated compact and funding agreement that we have with IHS. Basically, it sets our base funding amount. It also establishes what they call program function services and activities that our department can hold. It protects us because it also includes our tort claim coverage in here. And it, within the back, there are some appendices that breaks it down, which is a little bit complex, I realize that, but it breaks down our numbers for us. And so once this is approved, then our numbers in these budget worksheets will change, but it establishes the rate, the amount that we will get from IHS. And this is updated in 2014, sorry. Because the last time it was updated was in 2014. Prior to that, it was established in 2002. But this is the foundational document that allows us to be a 638 compacted Indian Health organization.
I would just say that the compact was first signed in 2002, and a lot of the changes that occurred in that document are related to changes in legislation that have occurred since 2002. So most of them are just updates to protocol and language as the program has grown and as IHS has changed. And then for the funding agreement, as Ms. Beaver said, the last time it was negotiated was in 2014. So many of the changes that are included in this are related to changes in the Affordable Care Act and additional opportunities that the tribe is currently taking advantage of. So it sort of cleans up what we've been doing operationally to reflect it, to be reflected in the language. One specific change is that this is a multi-year agreement. Prior to this agreement, we were working on a single year basis. Not that that doesn't mean that the nation can't choose to negotiate at any time. You always have that opportunity, but this is to allow us to kind of plan long-term. Since you're a stable health system, it's not necessary to renegotiate annually.
Any questions?
Yes. So it actually started this fiscal year because it has October 1.
Yeah. So the nation's been operating under the 2014 agreement without any additional signatures. There's a successor provision at the end of the agreement that allows the agreement to live beyond the expiration date. We asked the IHS initiate this agreement for October 1st because we have a joint venture project opening in July. We wanted to make sure that we were able to take in as much funding as necessary for that. So we asked that we start it at the beginning of the fiscal year, and IHS obliged us.
Thank you.
And these numbers will change in the appendices as a result of the FY18 omnibus. So these numbers were based on the FY17 enacted levels. So they'll change again multiple times through the year. They'll also change as a result of the fall staffing package that will come when the facility is open and has beneficiary occupancy status.
Questions? No questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 18-037, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to purchase passenger vans for chartered communities of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion to do pass.
Motion for a do pass by Representative Hicks. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I would like to make a comment on this. I did get several phone calls from some communities referring to the COD, and according to legislation, I did reach out to speaker and second speaker actually responded and said in the COD legislation it says that they can't use funds out of the COD to purchase the vans, but as far as special appropriations then they can, and this is what this is. So I just wanted to clarify or throw that out there.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Yes,
Representative Scott. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question. It says Bristow's requesting 2 vans. Is that because of their population? Or?
So Bristow has 1 van that's not able to use the lift anymore, mm-hmm. and the other van was in an accident years ago, and they're kind of updated. And what we would want to do is take those old vans and start utilizing inside the nation for the programs that maybe we'll be using in maintenance or some areas like that.
Okay, thanks, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I'm not opposed to purchasing the 7 vans, but to allow one community to have 2 when we have some communities that don't have any. I think that we purchased the 7, and I think Bristol also has a flex.
They did.
That they can use over there, you know, other than the van. So, Ms. Topol, would you want to respond to that?
Yes, I apologize for being late. I just came from the Capitol. Just to kind of update you and let you know kind of where this came from. As you know, I work half days with community research and development with the charter communities. We work hand in hand with fleet department, with Shane Holaby, to get the quote for these 7 vehicles. This came about from the different, first off, from different communities passing community resolutions asking for these vans. I got with Mr. Holaby to kind of get a inventory of our vans to see how old some of them are, because a lot of them are dilapidated, older, not running, or
like Hannah, they use their bus frequently to bring citizens down there up here to get their commodities or even to take them to Walmart, but they're spending more money trying to keep it running than it's worth. And so we kind of went through that inventory list and with some of the ones that were older, and in presenting this legislation, as Representative Hicks stated, COD funds cannot be utilized to purchase vehicles per legislative stipulations. But beyond that, on the legal side too, we want to make sure, in working with Mr. Holaby with Shane, with Fleet, is that these vans need to make sure that they are purchased correctly by the nation to ensure that they are titled, tagged, and insured by Muscogee Creek Nation. The communities cannot purchase those without and put them in the nation's name. So more than likely, they may be put incorrectly in someone's name, which would make that their property. And using tribal funds, we want to make sure they maintain the tribal property and that we maintain that adequate insurance on them. So we started with these seven. Next year, we're hoping to maybe work with some other communities, kind of start a rotation and work and continue working with Fleet. Like he said, to maybe try to use some of the vans that are able here at the nation as needed. But that's kind of why we went with these seven. We weren't trying to leave them out. We understand that there's more communities that may need them. These were just the first that came to us and worked with us. Or off of the inventory list, they were some of the older vehicles. So that's kind of what we were going off of there. So
my question is, if we amend it where Bristow only receives one, do you have a community that would be able to use the other van?
Yes, we have kind of off that inventory list, we would go to the next one to utilize that, and we would work with Shane. He could still purchase them off of this quote, purchase that extra van, and then just work with us to give it to the next community that's on that list.
That's fine with me. I mean, if the committee's okay with that, I'm okay with it, because I do know Muscogee had an interest in one, and then Shakota had also reached out to me as well, so that's up to the committee if you want Bristol to have one and one of the other ones have the other, or work with Popeye. Yeah, that's fine with me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious how the development came about, which communities were going to be appropriated a new van. I had attended Waleka's community meeting the other evening, and their van has been at Fleet for several weeks. It's in really bad shape, so I don't know what method it is possible to try to accommodate Waleka as well, like the other communities. So
I can tell you, Waleka didn't make it the first round, but they were going to be the first for the next year. Because we didn't want to come for all 25 communities, you know, we didn't want to come all at once. But we know, and we've been working with Shane, and they had, it's fixable in talking to Shane, and they may use COD funds to repair their van. They just can't purchase a new van. So if they can at least make enough repairs to get them, through another year, we were going to come back again next year to basically, hopefully, replace the remaining community vans. That was our intention.
Yes, Captain Jennings.
So if Bristol only gets one, Waleka would get the next one. Is that what you're saying?
We can. I don't know, though, if Shane's already working. Have you guys started work on Waleka's van?
It'd be one that would need to be replaced.
Okay.
Because this is one of the vans that we haven't seen. There's a lot of them that don't bring them to us, so we don't have the records. And after seeing this one, it would be right up there with Hannah's van. It'd be one of my priorities.
And the ones that get the new van, we're going to make it a point that they know they need to be bringing them to Fleet to be maintenance, or if they're not brought to Fleet, they need to be bringing their statement of work that has been completed, but we would still always recommend Fleet first to make any repairs.
Okay. So are you all right with me making the amendment to add Waleka?
Yes, that's fine. That's if that's what you guys.
And then my other comment is, you know, the other communities have had vans. Morse has never had a van.
Correct.
So I appreciate them. So, Madam Chair, my motion is to add Waleka to receive it. Receive what van?
Bristol one.
Bristol to receive one.
Okay. That's amendment to the legislation. Motion has been made by Representative Jennings to amend the legislation where Bristow will receive one van and Wallika will receive one.
Yes. Okay. Now who seconded?
Nobody. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Member Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That amendment passes. Any more questions? Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question about, I'm just visiting with Mr. Holloway in regards to language being added in the legislation that they do need to come to complete for their maintenance, because there's recalls on these as well, and you can oversee that instead of regular, you know, oil change maintenance when they're coming in. It's something that's 30 minutes or so, and they can check the vehicle out. Without that being in there, there's nothing that requires them to come.
That's true.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make that amendment.
Yeah, I'm going to make the amendment to add the necessary wording in order for the community to bring the van to the GSA for service, general maintenance, and monthly services.
To fleet. Motion by Representative Hicks to amend the legislation. The community vans must be brought to fleet for maintenance.
And service.
Second by Representative Deere. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That amendment passes.
So we'll get you a resolution. Mm-hmm. Okay.
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 Any more questions? Thank you, Ms.
Carroll. Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. NCA 18-038, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded from the Department of Justice Office through the Victims of Crime Grant to the Muscogee Creek Nation Children and Family Services Administration for Child Protective Services. Sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Motion to pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Hicks. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I have Ms. Wynn from Con.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Did you guys have any questions for us? We're excited to be getting this much money. We definitely need it.
Any questions? You want to go ahead and explain?
Sure. This is a grant that we received from the feds, of course. It's a continuation of the CTAS grant. There was one that we had to come. This is the same grant that we had to come and ask for about $3,000 for about this time last year to repay back some unallowable expenses that were made. But we were fortunate that this grant had actually ended. And they reached out to us and they said, we're going to let you spend this money the way that you need to spend it because you need this in your program. So it was a non-competitive grant, so they reached out to us and they gave us like 3 days to apply for it. So we applied for it and we received it. So this is basically for us to continue spending the money that we had.
Okay. Questions? Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NC 18-039, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the National Indian Council on Aging. Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
Madam Chair, is Ms. Thomas here?
Yes.
Oh, here she is. This is Lillian Thomas. She's a representative for the Eastern District of Oklahoma. If you have any questions, she will be able to answer them for you.
Anyone have any questions? Do you have any comments tonight?
No. Other than I would just appreciate it if we give a donation. I originally asked for $100,000 in increments of $20,000 a year, but I understand I can only ask for $5,000. So that's what I'm asking.
Okay.
Madam Chair, we discussed that, and I didn't say they were, they couldn't ask for that. I just told them at this time we couldn't do that, so that's why I offered the $5,000 donation.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Yes, dear. How many other tribes do you get donations from?
Not many in this eastern Oklahoma area. That's why I was wanting at least the Creek Nation to contribute. The Porch Band has already donated $100,000, and I have not had any response from the other, like the Choctaws, Chickasaws, Seminoles, and Cherokees.
Is there any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. NCA 18-040. Law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Bearden School. The sponsors are Representative Travis Scott. Motion for a due pass by Representative Hicks. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair, member of the committee. Ms. Deere is the superintendent of Bearden Schools. She contacted me in regards to trying to get some help. I figure most of you all know where Bearden is, but for those that you don't, it's about approximately 12 miles, 15 miles from Okemah,
right.
south and west. Just a little rural school, been there for many years, and the legislation shows the number of students and how many are JOM students, Native American students, that they have. I think we all aware of a lot of the crises we have in schools today that goes on with various actions that they're asking for some assistance for a camera system to help utilize, prevent these situations and help. They're probably wait time from any law enforcement is probably roughly 10 to 15 minutes. So she had contacted me to see if the tribe could help with a donation to help solidify some of this these issues that they have. If you have any questions or if you want Ms. Deere to speak, I'll turn the time over to her.
I was able to obtain a letter from Muskogee County Sheriff's Department. The sheriff, I had him type up some kind of information on you all about the need for Bearden Schools to have some sort of security surveillance. And he did so, if you guys would like to look over his letter. It gives you an idea of the response time. Within the community of Bearden, there's a small Pentecostal church, a fire department, and a school. So in the event of an emergency, we would have to call out the Okeska County Sheriff's Department. Provided that they have someone at the Sheriff's Department that's not out on call, their response time to get to us is 7 to 10 minutes. If there's someone out on call, that could take longer. I've had the opportunity to have the Light Horse out on campus to walk through, and we've had some discussions in regards to some of the things that we could do at Bearden School to secure our facilities a little bit better, because our students do change classes. We have one main building and then three additional classroom buildings that students change classes from throughout the day. So their suggestion was first some sort of a security fence. So that is what we put into our budget this year. I've brought some pictures to show you that we have added security fencing, 6 foot high fencing with multiple entry gates, but those are locked at 8:15 when our students go to class. Another thing that they suggested was that we do look at some sort of surveillance cameras, and like at this time we do not have that. So we were hoping that maybe the Muscogee Nation might be able to help us out with some of that.
Okay. Is there a problem already with like theft?
We had an incident, the first one since I've been superintendent, this is my fifth year there, we had an incident that a parent who had walked in to sign her child into school at about 8:10, her vehicle was broken into, the window was smashed, and her purse was stolen, along with multiple items out of that vehicle. And they hit that car and were gone in about 3 minutes time. So that's one of the things that has led us to, we don't want to wait any longer, hoping that the state gives us some funding to try to get some sort of security system for our kids. But we currently have, like I said, we did that over spring break, got the fencing up, so that was one measure that we were able to take and get taken care of with building funds.
Are there any questions? Representative.
Ms. Derrick, what other resources are you looking at, any other safety precautions? I know Mason School, they just sent
concealed carry.
Exactly.
Yes. We've had multiple conversations with the board about possible concealed carry. We are looking to pass, to have some agenda items within either May or June board meeting to allow at least selected officials to be able to conceal carry, which will probably be myself as one. And then I have two teachers that are concealed carry, but at this time we do not have a policy allowing them to carry onto our campus. But that is something we may be changing in the near future.
I do know that the school is out there in the middle of nowhere. But
yes, Randall's going to the school.
And like Ms. Jarrett stated, even though they had the time, of course it was planned, but you never know what's going to happen. So I think any kind of safety you can provide the school out there to protect our youth would be great.
So we have William Fixco with the Move It program. He's been out onto our campus and he's been through there. Randall, or Representative Hicks, I'm sorry, has been on our campus and he knows the need of the area. Kurt Titsworth, the OSBI investigator for Okeska County, he's been on my campus. He said he wouldn't have a problem at all writing some sort of a letter if he needed some additional information on the need for our area.
Any questions? Thank you very much. I think I know where Bearden is. So it must be way out there. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you.
No more questions. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 18-041. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title VI, Chapter 1, entitled Children's sponsor, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there anybody from CFS or AG or anybody that...
Yes, thank you. This amendment comes with on with efforts with CFSAS working together. Apparently, there were some parts of the Title VI entitled children that were a little ambiguous, and we worked together to draft this in an effort to provide extra security and protection for the children, laying out specific guidelines on how things are going to proceed and how investigations will be reported, in hopes that there's a better understanding between our office and CFSA and on how things, what the procedure is in order to provide better protection for the children.
Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 18-042, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a budget modification in excess of 10% for the Native Youth Community Project, a grant program housed under the Department of Education and Training. The sponsor is Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion? This is just a, this is just a bit long, but...
This 10% in excess modification, the grant was written 3 years ago with the basic line items needed to have the grant. Now that we're started programming, we're going to need to build more line items just to make that possible.
Any questions? Yes.
Manager?
Yes.
On the line item for your youth student activities?
Yes.
Have 15,000?
Yes.
What do you have lined up for?
And this Native Youth Community Project, what it does is it helps our Native youth to apply to colleges, do college trips, things that they wouldn't normally do. This is Waleka Wetumpka Doer Schools, and some schools that don't have, you know, access to those types of things. So they would do some college road trips, some incentive type projects, some leadership, camps, things like that, some Native art camp, just some things to open their eyes to some more opportunities.
So your program would actually take them, like there was somebody in Okemo wanting to go visit Haskell, this program would take them or just give them?
No. This is for just those three schools, and the students that are written into that grant, they would set up that programming for that group, those three groups.
What were your schools again?
Waleka, Wetumpka, and Doer.
And how were those selected?
I'm not really sure how they were selected. I know it had something to do with the fact that they were rural and their opportunities that were available to them.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So those schools are a part of the STEP program?
No. Well, yes, some of those schools are part of the STEP program. This is a different grant, falling under the Department of Education, but a different grant entirely.
Right. So you have a budget modification now, but when the budgets come out, they'll have a completely different budget.
If this is a continuation, this is the budget they'll continue with until it's over with.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 18-043, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating funds for the 8th Annual Spirit of Oklahoma Football Camp. Sponsor is Representative Hill.
Motion for a due pass and substitute.
Motion for a due pass on the substitute. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hicks. Discussion?
Mr. Holloway.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me. It's been 8 years and growing. It's been really a joy to see the kids come out every year and wonder if we're going to have it the next year. I've had several kids come up and ask me, are we going to have it this year? The best, I believe one of the good things is that we've been rotating around rural areas of the Creek Nation, and this year we've gotten into the Morris area, and they're going to be the host, one of the hosts this year. And also, along with that, I'll be taking about 30 kids this Saturday to the Red and White game for a college experience, like the lady said earlier. Not just to go see the game, but to see the campus and let them explore and see how big it is. Because I know from rural areas, a lot of kids get overwhelmed when they get the opportunity to go down to Norman or Stillwater. And it's a joy to know that the chief has come aboard to help us get those kids down this Saturday to Norman to see the campus. And again, it's just not seeing the game, but to give them opportunity to see how big it is. And so they won't get overwhelmed when it's their time to go down there to go to college. And if they want to go to college, I would hope so. But just it's not a shock to them, you know, so they get some kind of something out of it this weekend. We'll have Joe Washington will be there along with some other coaches. Let me see, they'll be revealing the Bob Stoop statue there, and the kids be involved in that. And they're going to have a concert with a gentleman by the name of Trey Atkins.
Yeah.
He's going to perform before the game, so they're going to get a lot out of that day, and hopefully it can carry over into the future. Any questions? Probably smiling.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Holloway.
Yes,
and for everything you do for our children. The question I have is, what if you see one or two that is just like outstanding? I know it's hard to tell it's within a week that you have them, but what if you just see one or two that it just excels and you think, hey, this kid may be somebody someday? How do you help them, or do you?
I do. I see what school that they're from, and then ask them for their phone number and to keep in contact with them throughout the season, just to check on them for my own personal being. And this past year that we had several students to get a scholarship that's been coming to the camp ever since they were maybe in the 6th, 7th grade. And now they're at Southwest Kansas, Wellington, Kansas. And like I said, several of them obtained scholarships. And I'm not saying just from the camp, just not going to the camp, but again, on their own merit and the things that they do. But we've had some scouts that come to the camp and be involved in the camp, that if those colleges need a certain athlete, and they come back and they ask, you know, they see the kids hands-on themselves. And so they get to follow those kids throughout that year. And if that school needs a certain offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and they have a scholarship that they can still fill, they came back and asked and picked up some of our kids that have been coming to the camp. So I'm really proud about that right there, to know that the camp has started. And starting with Leica, and it's grown to 3 different locations and giving these kids the opportunity to go to college. You know, everybody can't go to OU, OSU, or Tulsa, right, but just giving them an opportunity to get a college education, wherever it is a blessing.
Right. And the reason I ask that is some
some of these small schools, they may have outstanding athletes, but the coaches don't do anything
they don't promote.
To help them.
Right. Yes, sir. And, you know, and again, we have our Coach Patton. And the reason why these kids, not to say the reason why they got a scholarship, but Coach Patton's son, he was going there. And so they came down to watch him. And they picked up some other kids. And so you never know. And I never know until at the end when it's all sealed and delivered that these kids are, that they got an opportunity to go to school. And you know, football is just a little percentage, but as long as they can get their education and further their education, that's what the main part.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Brought that up because I could have been Derek Jeter before Derek Jeter was. but I come from a small school.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't aware of how the coaches actually spoke to the kids. I mean, it was cuss word after cuss word, and that
right.
was something I wasn't used to, and so I just let the whole ride go.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you say that, because this year we're adding on towards after the camp, we're going to have the Native men of Creek Nation come and specifically talk to our boys and girls, but especially boys, about how to respect themselves and to respect ladies and respect women, you know, because of the things that's going on in the world about not respecting a woman and their area and their space. You know, I just think if we get them when they're really young, they can catapult and understand this is how you're supposed to treat a woman and along that lines. And just proud to know that got a lot of response from the Native men of Creek Nation to be able to come and tell a story about, you know, how the things that they've done in their own community.
Okay. Thank you,
Madam Chair. Yes, Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to address the substitute and what it references that recreation and tourism was included in this legislation, but it's a festival time and they're awful busy, so we agreed to take them out, and so we have Mr. Holloway and Ms. Golan as the people that are accountable for them in the county.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yes, sir.
Does anybody really want to go to Stillwater?
No.
Well, they do. They do. And the best thing about that answer is we have coaches from Stillwater and I don't know anything else. You know. And I guess the best thing is that Morris is orange and black, and so it goes right along. You know, still water like that. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I know Coweta is in a rural school. Remember, I talked to you about
that. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And,
are they?
And if I can challenge people from the different districts here in Creek Nation to tell some of their kids that this is all for the Creek Nation, whether north, south, east, west, whatever, to come and get involved, like you were talking about Coweta,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my buddy Ricky Bryan is right over there, and he would love to come and help, and, you know, for the camp.
Ricky or Steve?
I'm sorry, Steve. Steve Rigdell, yes, ma'am, because Steve played with me. And just to get all of Creek Nation involved, you know, as many as possible, the Glenpool area, the Broken Arrow area, I mean, all that
right.
would be really helpful. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yes,
okay, roll call vote, please.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NC18-044, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Eastern Oklahoma Jump Rope Club. Sponsor is Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion to for a due process. Due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Shaw. Second by Representative. Any questions? Yes.
Madam Chair, we have the chairman of the organization, Eric Yehoe, and Scott Robson, who is a coach for the team. If anybody has any questions, or your job is to explain what the need is for.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm Eric Yehoe. I'm the chairman of the Eastern Oklahoma Jump Rope Club.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Pass it down to you. Two there. It's just some fundraising that we're doing there. My son here, Elijah, has been a part of this jump rope club for not quite a year, just this school year. And he's just benefited a lot from it. This is the first year that the World Federation Jump Rope Championship is going to be in the States for quite a while. It's usually overseas. So this is the first time that this group has ever going to be a part of that, and since it was in the States, we wanted to really jump on that and give these kids an opportunity to see some other jumpers from around the world. Part of my personal mission is to inspire a healthy future, and I think that this jump rope program does that for the kids. And Coach Scott here could probably tell you a whole lot more about the history of it and how it was born too. So
we've been doing this program since 2010 at Wetumpka, but actually this jump rope program started with the Muscogee Creek Nation Diabetes program years ago, back in 2003, and we're still doing it all over the Muscogee Creek Nation. Actually, the diabetes program for the nation funds this program at Wetumpka. My program at Wewoka, we partner with them, we provide the manpower to do the program. And these kids, eight out of 16 of the kids are the Muscogee Creek. And we do have one Choctaw kid. So we do have 9 Native American kids. And then myself and Eric are both from Muscogee Creek. And we are asking permission also, other than just the funding, is to call ourselves the Muscogee Creek Nation Jump Rope Team when we go. Put the nation's seal on our uniform and carry the nation's flag in the opening ceremonies. There's over 30 countries from around the world that come to this. Japan, China, Portugal, France, Australia. And we want to be considered the nation competing in this competition. So we would like permission to do those things also.
Questions? It'll have to be.
I can add that section that I can use the seal. And I'm not sure the name is okay. It's the seal.
Okay.
But I would still put the name in the legislation just to be.
Okay.
I can add a section to accommodate what you said as far as using the seal and the name.
Carry the flag in also. That's okay.
So we can amend this.
Yes.
Legislation. Just state that.
Substitute or amendment?
I can do an amendment.
So you just need to amend it to add that part to the legislation.
Yeah. To add the.
I'll make a motion to amend the legislation to include use of the name, seal, and flag.
Motion made by motion made by Representative Jennings to amend the legislation to state that
for the use of the
seal, the name, and the flag. Second by Representative Hicks. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That amendment passes. Are there any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 18-045, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Hanna Rural Fire Association. Sponsor is Representative Proctor.
Madam Chair, motion to do pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Is there anyone from the Hanna Rural Fire?
Speaker's co-sponsor. I said speaker's co-sponsor.
Okay.
Madam Chair, committee, how are you?
Yes.
My name is Rachel Hart. I'm one of the volunteer firefighters. Out of 15 of us, there's 9 of us are Creek citizens. We've been putting on the fireworks shows for 10 to 15 years. We do one of the biggest Macintosh parties. Did y'all get our budget? This is usually what we usually spend on there. Everything's free for the community and the surrounding communities. And we would like to know.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Hicks.
Didn't we just buy you either or help you guys get a fire truck for some kind of equipment?
Hitchida.
Hitchida? Yeah. That is the one that made the agreement, right? Okay. I was getting confused. Thank you.
Started with the H. Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Speaker. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. We sent to BF&J for funding.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Source.
Thank you, committee.
Yes.
Thank you. And no one on Friday. Free food, free bouncy houses.
Next is NCA 18-046. A law that Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek citizen. Sponsor is Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second?
Madam Chair, I correct myself. Motion to postpone until next week.
Motion, Representative Scott changed his motion to postpone until next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. NCA 18046 is postponed until next month. NCA 18-047. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the American Diabetes Association. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Second by Representative Hicks. Discussion.
Ms. Brown.
Yes. Thank you so much. First, I just want to say thank you to everybody for all you've done for us for several years. And we are here asking again for this money helps to support our Tour de Cure, which is our largest fundraising event. And then we've got a couple of new things this year I wanted to let you know. For one, we're going to be cooperating or working with the University of Oklahoma College of Medicine and doing a type 1 camp for children with type 1, ages 6 to 12. It's been going on a while. It's called Camp Lobegon. It's at Camp Lockridge is where they have it. But these are where children can come in. It's a 4-day camp during the day, of course. But we, American Diabetes Association, is now affiliated with that and going to be a sponsor. And we thank you for helping us make that possible. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is that we have annually our Living with Diabetes, it's free to the public expo. And this will be, I believe, the 10th year that we've had it. And we have been invited to come and have it at your beautiful River Spirit Hotel. And I'm working with them right now, and they're going to help us in kind with a lot of that event. So we're very excited.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? John, did you have anything to say?
No, I just want to add, sometimes we get questions, how do things work locally for the tribes and entities, and we're probably all aware with there's a national program, funding program called the Special Diabetes Program. It covers funding for type 1, but built into that program is also the Special Diabetes Program for Indians. And that's a granting program that's available to all tribes, and it supports a lot of diabetes programs at tribes, and Creek Nation being one of them. What the association does is that it partnered with a lot of particularly entities that support Indian health was that was included in the budget initially in this year's funding package, and that finally passed in February. And so the American Diabetes Association, along with other groups, work constantly to get that. That's a 2-year, but it comes up for renewal about every 2 years. And that's always on their priority list to keep that in the legislators' ears, both nationally and locally. That's a major funding source for our program here at the Creek Nation. And so I'm pretty sure they had their eye on that too. So I didn't want to bring that up as a that work impacts us locally for our program.
Thank you. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. NCA 18-048. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Okemah Summer Kids Cafe. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Scott. Is there a second? Representative Hicks. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity again. This is Mr. Strickland. He's the program director of the cafe. Stephanie Robinson. And
Wallace.
I went blank. And I see her every day. I believe if approved, this will be the 3rd year, correct, Jeremy?
This will be our fifth
year as far as funding. I'll let Mr. Strickland do an overview of the program. The program is great for our community. My kids have participated in it years past. And I'll turn the floor over to Jeremy for any questions and let him give you synopsis of how the program operates.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. It's our privilege and honor that this is going to be the fifth time that we get to sit before you and report to you on the results of this really awesome and exciting program. And to be honest with you, I could talk about it just about as long as you have time. So I will attempt to be brief. So 4 years ago, the Turning Point Coalition in Okefenokee County was contacted by the Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma and highlighted a very real and serious problem in our community, and that is food insecurity. Right there in Okemah Public Schools, over 80% of our students are on free or reduced lunch. So our community met the need and just a few short months raised $30,000 through different funding sources, and as they say, the rest is history. So what started out as just a feeding program, and I will highlight that purple area right in the middle, I'm super pumped to say that over the last 4 years, we have served over 20,000 meals to kids. So that's breakfast and lunch. Wow. Over 20,000 meals. And our attendance has increased. It's a good problem to have, but our attendance increased last year 20%. 20% increase in attendance, where it had been about 135 kids increased to 160. So what started out as just a feeding program with just a few activities, of course, physical activity has always been a huge component. And Scott Robinson, I think he's still back there, they always come out each year and help us with jump rope camp. But on top of jump rope camp, we always provide swimming and art and yoga and all kinds of sporting events and PE for those kids. So what started out, so different components of this, we have, of course, the food, then we have sports. And then 2 years ago, we started a very intensive reading program where we give these kids 45 minutes to read every day. And then after that 45 minutes, they are given a chance to earn AR points. And based on their reading level, then they can earn points. And if they meet their reading goal, then they get to go on an all-expense-paid field trip. Last year, we got to go to Frontier City, and they didn't have to pay for it. So just very briefly, you can turn the page, and you can see the results of our reading program. And I'm going to highlight this because I'm very, very proud of this. We had approximately 25 kids who went right at the level. I mean, they met their reading goal, and of course, many of those went over. So if you look at that average, what we did is that we looked at those kids in their grade equivalency in May. They read with Kids Cafe over the summer. They came back to school in August, and we looked at their GE score. And what we found is that they increased learning 1 month. Now, that is significant. That may not seem like very much, but that is significant. Most of these kids decrease on average 3 months over the summer. So we are making great strides in Okemah. So this year, I'll highlight what our plans are this year. You can see in your bottom right-hand corner, we are committed to family engagement. We have a couple of activities that we are planning for that. And we are venturing into robotics. And we are very appreciative of your support, and we could not do it without you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
There is a percentage that I did not put on here, but approximately 45 of our students are tribal students. And we obtain that information through JOM, our JOM coordinator.
I was trying to see if there's any kind of income guidance. No income.
This is a free program.
Okay. That's good. That's great.
It's open to anyone, and not just Okemah school students.
Right. We have students. Yeah, Ms. Deere.
School students have attended and do attend the Summer Kids Cafe. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have reading scores and things like that on those.
I do not. Yeah.
But if I can get some names, I can get that information.
That would be tremendous.
Yay.
Yeah. So we, of course, this is because the food is comes from the federal government. We cannot discriminate based on age or location. So we have students that attend Bearden schools, Mason schools, Waleka, Wetumpka, even Holdenville. So we have them from all over.
Yeah. That's great. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Yes.
Must be added as school strong.
Representative Hicks be added as co-sponsor. Okay. Any questions from anyone else? None? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Thank you. Just down to other business. The health systems update from the Secretary of Health. Yes.
Sorry, I'm not the secretary of health. His significant other had surgery. So
oh, really?
In your packets, in the back, is a our report, and just highlighting a few things is our hospital received their state license at Okemah, and so we still need to do the certificate of occupancy, and then the CT scanner, we need to install that, and that's on the legislation for tomorrow night, and then we hope to get a completion date so that we can begin to move the hospital from Okemah to, or from the old location to the new location. I apologize, my voice is scratchy, so I'm trying to keep it low-key here. The other thing is Eufaula construction is 98% complete. We ran into a little issue with the sewer lines. Apparently the county wants us to do a, what is it called? Do you remember what they called it? They talked about it this morning. I can't remember what it's called, where they have to run it into the ground instead of digging on the top and putting it in. And so we're working with the county on that. So that's caused a little bit of a hiccup and a delay. They said that if we didn't have that delay, we could have possibly been in it in May, but it looks like it may push us back a little bit. We also need to begin negotiations with IHS on some of the pockets of money that they have available for us on that. And we put this little bit in about the Medicare cards because we wanted everyone to know that Medicare is going to issue new cards, and we should receive, anybody who's a Medicare beneficiary should receive their cards after the first part of June. Basically, they were using the Social Security numbers, and now they're changing the numbers so that it's non-identifiable. So they're taking the Social Security numbers off of Medicare cards. So if you have any, so they ask that you watch for that. If anybody's on Medicare, your constituents are on Medicare, there's no cost associated with it. All they're doing is just getting a new card with a new number. We ask that they show that card to the registration clerks when they come in. So we will be asking for their new Medicare card because, of course, that will affect our billing. And we will have no way to know about those new what the new number is because it's just a random number. As you guys know, the Compact of Funding Agreement, we finished that process, and that was presented to you guys today. Our AAAHC, our clinics, received their accreditation for that for an additional 3 years. Our Impala, we're still working through that plan of correction, as well as our DNV survey as well. And then there's some numbers on the back. And I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Brenda Crawford. She is our CFO for the health system, and she's going to be presenting our financials for you guys every month. Just as Ms. Rose.
I'm going to give you just an overview, and then if you have any additional questions, because I don't really know how much detail was provided in the past. So the clinics have a total of a little over $20 million in revenue for October through March, and the March revenue was, like, $7.2 million. Our visits were down slightly from February to March, and that's partly to do with the flu season tapering off. The third-party revenue continues to be between 52 and 53% of our total revenue. So that's the revenue that we actually bill to third Medicare, Blue Cross commercials, things like that. And we are our average collections for the clinics runs about $877,000 a month. Our pharmacy revenue averages $3.4 million per month with an average collections of 1.6. Our total net revenue for the clinics, which includes all of the clinics, is about $14.9 million for the year, with a total of expenses of $18 million. The clinics have a $3.3 million loss prior to our transfers from IHS. So the net revenue after IHS transfers is $18.7 million. Any questions on the clinics?
No.
Okay. The hospitals have third-party revenue of $33 million. We have an additional $12 million that is Indian benefits and self-pay revenue in the hospitals. The gross revenue, our deductions from revenue when we exclude the Indian Ben is 65%. So we're collecting about 30.9% on that third-party money for the hospitals. The HOPE unit opened on March the 7th, and that contributed 20 admits for the month, which was one of the main reasons why our admissions, inpatient admissions, were up. That unit is now running about, we're getting up to 10 patients per day in that unit. So the hospital total expenses were $16 million, and they had a loss of $6 million for the year.
For the year.
And that does include the $12 million in Indian benefits that we wrote off. So without, I mean, that's taking that into effect. Our ER visits were down slightly, and so were the outpatient visits, and I think a lot of that has to do with the flu. We're towards the end of the flu season, so.
So $6 million, so it's about $1 million a month?
Yes, sir.
Percentage fixed.
Oh, Madam Chair, I was just going to ask if you could email, do you mind emailing us those numbers for you?
Sure. Is that part of what we usually gave us?
No, Linda Rowe came.
Yeah, I remember she would stand up and she would report it.
But I will send you a copy of my last statement so you can see what Ms. Rowe would send us.
Okay.
Well, that would be great because she would email me those.
That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
Are there any questions? Not. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
So the sheet number report.
Yeah.
Next is Kathy.
No, she was a reporter.
They're doing your report?
Yeah.
She's doing it for
you. Oh, well.
She's going to do it from now on.
Okay. But I wanted to talk to her. Any announcements? Have an announcement, Second Chief?
No announcements.
Motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Representative Jennings is second for adjournment.
Second
by Representative Hicks. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We adjourn. I would like to ask Representative Del Beaver if you would give us the benediction, please.